If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
I always bring my guest, this guest, on at the beginning of the hour because he says he likes my intro. So joining me now from the Greenville County Sheriff's Department is Greenville County Sheriff Hobart Lewis. Good afternoon, sir.
Hey, good afternoon, man. I do love that intro. It gets me fired up to talk to you.
I'm hip. I'm just sitting here being hip. What's going on in Greenville? What are your thoughts on things been going on around here?
It's always busy. I mean, obviously, the property crimes issues we have, we've talked about that on here before, have only picked up with people leaving equipment and those kind of things, maybe out on a construction site or around the yard. And we've had kind of an uptick in equipment that's been stolen. Immigration's been a hot topic. Logan Federico, that case, the murder of her and her dad's testimony. We certainly had a lot of calls the beginning of this week in reference to judicial reform. Judge Miller that actually reduced a sentence in that case is from here. And so we have a lot of people kind of looking into past history of cases he's heard along with her case. And, we look forward to being able to speak with her father. And he's certainly doing some good work to bring a lot of attention to what happens in our judicial system and where those breakdowns are, which is mostly with judges. And then you'll hear a lot about judicial reform as we talk about elections coming up and those things.
How much of that do we have where we have judges that you might consider to be not watching out, not looking out?
Well, I think what the bigger issue, what the public really has to look at and be aware of, is the fact of how our judges are selected. And that is through what's called the Judicial Merit Selection Committee, and elected representatives get people who apply for these positions, and people, lawyer legislators certainly more prevalent in our state, and those defense attorneys are standing before judges in cases for people that they represent, and in front of judges who they've appointed. That's a problem. That's a definite conflict. And a judge should not be in that position. The attorney should not put a judge in that position. But it's a very skewed system, the way we do things. And that's how some of those deals get done, whether it be backdoor deals or court deals or whatever the case may be.
Right.
So I think across the state, you have judges who move around in different circuits. And, I think the public and a lot of legislators are going to be calling that out and looking and researching cases to find out who the problems are, what judges need to be replaced, which ones do not need to be renewed, who does need to be appointed. And do we change that process to either allow the governor to pick appointees for a judge and those folks confirmed, in a later process, to take the lawyer legislator part out first? Do we start electing judges? We have to change that process. It is a very, very, we're one of two states who do it the way we do it, which tells me that we're not doing it right.
I understand your logic, sir. Now let me ask you another question, simply because I find you to be almost military in your apolitical stance. If you're invited to go somewhere and speak, you don't care who it is. When you're campaigning, you don't care who you're campaigning in front of them. You're just trying to get the word out to all the citizens within Greenville County. Yeah,
sure, absolutely. All the voters you can talk to. I mean, that's certainly the name of the game. You have to get in front of as many people as possible, whether you're door knocking or going to different events. You go to some events and speak, and there may be 10 people there, and then you go to some, there may be a few hundred. And the best you can hope for is you get your message out, and those folks will go tell their friends and family and neighbors and,
sure.
and those kind of things. But yeah, you do have to go. I mean, you don't have to. You can choose not to, but it's not going to be very beneficial, I don't think, in my opinion.
Which,
and I'm not a consultant, but you do have to show up to some places that, you know, sometimes you may not want to talk to people you don't want to talk to. But that's, in my particular position, that's what I do. You know, not a lot of people are happy to see me when they make appointments and come in and talk about their, you know,
but,
child being locked up or husbands or wives
right.
or whatever.
Well, I mean, the reason I'm asking that is I wanted to know your opinion of this political directed law enforcement that we saw like in Chicago, where they said, don't go help these guys that are right now in the middle of being hit with cars, and now they're shots fired. Nobody go out there and help them. What do you think about that?
So I have not, you know, really delved into that a whole lot. But what I have heard, I heard the police chief, his kind of media release and answering some questions, and they did play some of the dispatch tape. I couldn't believe what I heard. I can tell you here in Greenville County, and I think I can safely speak for every agency in South Carolina, we would never, ever hang another law enforcement agency out to dry like they did to not respond and allow people to get hurt or be put in danger. You know, that had already escalated into now, you know, some form of a riot. We're on the way. You know, we're coming, and we're bringing the cavalry with us. So I just can't imagine that happening here. That's some of the things that happen in other parts of the country, you know, really make me scratch my head and wonder just how in the world people allow people to be in positions of leadership like that.
Somebody asked me why, like, ICE facilities are not actually set out in a different area to where instead of it being in a city jurisdiction, it would be in a county jurisdiction. And I think they actually used you as the example of somebody that would actually just roll, no matter who it was or what it was. They, you know, you know right from wrong, and you do the right thing. Is that part of the problem, or what do you think? I mean,
I don't think so. I mean, certainly not here. Again, I don't know about other parts of the country and where those are located, but I think our immigration facility, when it was built here, for instance, in the city of Greer, is because of the inland port and the airport. The idea was to have it close to those two things. So, you know, for people to legally check in and obtain, you know, citizenship here. Now, I don't see the city of Greer certainly not doing what other places are doing. If ICE is having a roundup and they're, you know, processing people at that location, we would help assist in any way possible. We're signed on for that under 287G. We will enforce that. And I'm sure Greer will. I don't mean to speak for Chief Hamby at all, and I'm not speaking in his place.
Right.
But he is going to maintain law and order in the city of Greer, and whatever assistance they needed, we're rolling the cavalry. We're there to help in any way possible. So I think they built those places and placed them there in those municipalities. It's probably just part of the funding arm to build those locations. You know,
yep.
Like the small
okay.
one we have there in the city. You know, I'm sure there was some tax break for, you know, having that and making that land available over there.
Well, when you see law enforcement rolling by, salute them, thank them, appreciate them, because they're going to get there as fast as they can. I saw firsthand a result of that the other day when I rolled up on a traffic accident in Malden, Greenville County, same way, because they're led by people like Sheriff Hobart Lewis, Greenville County Sheriff.
We have great people who service community in all our municipalities. Certainly here at the county and even on the state level that work
yep.
here in upstate, we are blessed to not have the problems other parts of the country have. And the majority of that is really because of the citizens that take part in law and order here in upstate.
Well, in any event, it's always good to speak with you. I appreciate you taking the time to swing by.
Yes, sir. Great to speak with you. Y'all have a good week.
Yes, sir.
Bye, bud.
Later. A reporter decided to go undercover into the Portland Antifa. This is her story. And this is News Talk 98.9 WORD.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan, equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free, so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
I'll tell you the story of a young lady named Victoria Taft. She is a writer for the Umbrella Group. And I think that this is, I don't remember which one this is. It's part of the whole town hall setup. She heard about the one block. There's only one block of area that Antifa has control of right now. So she decided to go find out for herself. And she had questions like, how many blocks under siege is acceptable for a local terrorist group to take over? And if it's only a block, then why haven't they cleared it out? And how many blocks are really taken up? And is it appropriate to encourage this security danger around a federal facility by doing nothing about it? Why didn't they arrest people who have been identified in assaults? Why are the journalists who were attacked while reporting in the story treated as if they were asking for it because they're covering a story? If it's under secure and control, as city and state leaders allege, then why isn't it under control and secure? And why didn't local elected officials hold their press conferences in the riot zone instead of a mile away? And first thing to understand is that Antifa has security. They have lookouts. They note the cars coming into the zone and those that leave. And they have official observers, and they mark these vehicles. They have their own hackers. They have their own social media operators, which is filled with disinformers and hangers-on. Victoria has observed one particular Antifa operator in many ICE photos and still photos. And this individual has been seen for years at other leftist gatherings in Portland. He is violent. He's at ICE all the time. And she told her friend, who covers the story nearly every day, to stay away from that guy. She herself has received death threats from Antifa. And the Portland Police Bureau refused to do anything about it. So, she has adopted operational security. But it was daylight. Daylight is a little less dangerous in Antifa territory than it is in during the night. So, she black-blocked up. She was in black from the top of her head to her toes. No ID, No pocket litter. She got a ride near the zone from an experienced reporter. And when she was finished, she met the ride out blocks and blocks away, changing her appearance along the way. And then she left town. That's a lot of steps to take. Normally, I mean, that's almost like an intelligence operation. When she got into the zone, in 5 minutes, she had somebody was already angry at her. She had an Antifa Karen. And Antifa Karen was whining about her camera and telling her to stop filming. But Antifa Karen gave one of her flying monkeys a look, and he grabbed an umbrella and began to harass Victoria so she could not get photos of him. But she didn't want any photos of him. But he didn't want her to take photos of anything, which is why he followed her across the street, which became block number two of Antifa activity. And then, in the video, you'll see a Portland Police Bureau officer. There was a presence of about six cops and other bike cops out there on the Sunday she was out there. Shock number two. Shock number three came at the end of the video when a cop intervened with the Antifa jerk and told him it was perfectly legal for her to take pictures. And a man with a press sign on his back began to yell at the cop that it was okay for the umbrella holder to hide his images. Screaming ensued, and the other reporters came to observe what was all going on. And, you know, but it's not legal for them to do that, you know. It's not legal for someone to take a weapon and umbrella and menace anybody. That's not protected speech. Daytime had a lot of Antifa curious drivers showing up to check this out for themselves. There was a new batch of conservatives watching the daytime antics. She heard a phone conversation with one neighbor lady describing the scene to a friend on the phone, saying that the scene terrified her. She discovered that Antifa works in shifts. They go back to their safe house nearby, which is well known, and get a little R&R before they start their next shift at night, where the violence takes place. And she observed the night or the shift change, which brings us to block number three. They refer to these areas as Antifa-stans. And you can see him going off. She talked to a lady there in her 80s watching the Antifa shift change and told her that, you know, the neighbor said she was with the protesters. Now, she was in black block, so she, you know, she's probably saying, please don't hurt me, Antifa. There were signs all over the place. Please do not vandalize. We're a nonprofit. We're not associated with the ICE building. We believe everyone deserves a place to call home. So, in actuality, what she found out was there was actually four blocks taken over. And then there's the ICE facility itself. It is a fortress, but easily surrounded. And Antifa has taken positions in front of it, across the street from it, and down the block. So this actually spreads it out to a five-block takeover at times. Now, the question, how many blocks can a terrorist group take over before the city begins to send the police to keep the peace? Which is a trick question. Well, I guess when Donald Trump orders the National Guard to protect ICE agents, forcing the local cops to show up. Police have always said there in Portland, whether overtly or tacitly, that reporters who dare tell the story are asking for it. So the answer to the questions, the Portland leadership didn't hold its recent press conference in a riot zone because it's a riot zone. They didn't clean up the riot zone in Antifa's area of operation because Antifa is their base. There's probably the equivalent of five blocks under Antifa control. There's no limit to the number of blocks Antifa can control because there's no pushback. Police showed up again only after Trump indicated he'd send the National Guard to protect ICE. and the area is not under control and secure because the city likes chaos more than order, and because it redounds to their political belief. And there's the answer. Now we know. Now we know. I think it's a mistake to look at the Democrats and say they're insane or unhinged. I think they're deliberately anti-American. This is News Talk 98.9 WORD.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes. They're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or DSW.com.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free, so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Well, let's go to the phones. Let's go to Tim and Campobello. Yes, sir.
Hey, man. I usually call run my mouth, but I got a question today. Something I can't figure out.
Okay.
They week or so ago, 2 weeks ago, whatever it was, I mean, they designated this Antifa as a terrorist organization, right?
Right.
Okay. Why are they fooling around with them? Why don't they treat them just like ISIS? Go in there and wipe them out and go home.
Well, that's a question I have too. That's a question I have too. I need to find out. I've been looking for an answer to this, and I haven't asked it of the right people, obviously, because I would think if they are a domestic terror organization, it's open season. That would be my thought.
Yeah, I mean, it's mine too. I mean, why are we even still talking about these folks? I mean, going there and wipe them out like ISIS or something, if they're a bunch of terrorists, go take care of it. Why are we fooling around with these fools? Let's say they ain't a terrorist organization. Still, why are they fooling around with these nuts? Why don't they just go in there and put an end to it? That's what I can't figure out.
Well, I'm looking for that. I'm looking for that myself. You and I, in that, we are like-minded.
If it was a bunch of people that sound like me out there, you know, acting a fool and all this, that, and other, they'd have done took care of it. But let me tell you this, I've got a boy that's leaving tonight. He's got an 8 o'clock flight, and he's going to Chicago for business. You know, got to go up there for work. And I told him, I said, look here, son, I know how you are. You don't go nowhere around none of these fools. And I hope you help me pray that they don't go harassing him or anything. I mean, if they do, we'll be talking about him a day or two, because he won't take it. I promise you.
I certainly hope not.
It'll be bad.
Yeah, I hope he comes back all intact and everything else with no incidents.
Yeah, I told him. I said, you keep your head down and your mouth shut.
There you go.
But that might be a problem, too. That's what too many of us do. They keep their head down and keep their mouth shut. That's why we haven't put up with a bunch of this crap.
Yeah, I mean, you got to read Sun Tzu, right? You don't wage the war till you're going to win the fight.
That's right. Well, he'll win it if they start fighting. He'll do his part to win it. Lord have mercy. But if you find out anything, I mean, I just can't figure out why. What the heck they waiting on? Why are they fooling this much?
Listen. Take it over. As soon as I know, everybody will know. As soon as I know, everybody's going to know. Yeah. So.
All right. Appreciate it, man.
Yes, sir.
All right. See you.
I think it is a mistake to look at the deliberate intentions of the Democrats and say that they're crazy. They're not. And when we do that, we're giving them an excuse for really bad behavior. The way a proven murderer hopes to get off with a temporary insanity defense. Like that guy that just got off for killing that little girl or that little boy. Don't remember the details of that one. And the temptation is strong. I get it. Because they do a lot of crazy stuff. I know. I understand. They support every single policy that makes life for you, the average American, poorer, more dangerous, and less meaningful. They're in favor of open borders. They're in favor of rampant crime. They're opposed to free speech and fair elections. So, if you're calling them crazy, I totally understand. But they're not. These are very conscious and very sober positions they're taking. There's nothing to say or profess to believe that it is misguided or poorly thought out. They mean what they say. And there isn't a flicker of doubt. And that it seems... Okay, well, let's go to the phones to... Gotcha. To Hugh in Spartanburg. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to say to the previous caller to remind his son that 24/7 he's representing the company he works for. So I worked in 3 continents and 5 countries. All over the United States, Canada, and Mexico. I saw a lot of demonstrations and a lot of stuff go on or whatever. You just got to remember you own the job and you got to represent your company, not your opinion when you are working out of town.
Well, you got
my advice.
Sure.
Take it or leave it.
Well, I mean,
thank you, sir.
Okay. Not exactly full of context, though. I mean, yeah, I do that too. But if somebody puts me in a position where I have no choice, well, I'm not going to be too worried about representing. Not too worried. Let's go to John in Waynesville. Yes, sir.
Hey, Bill, just want to, mention that, since they're looking at this as an insurrection, what about the government officials that are involved in it? Because they're participating and aiding in the insurrection. So can't they be under that same law held accountable and also...
That's why they would invoke it.
Prosecuted.
Yeah, that's why they would invoke it in order to make all of that fall into place.
Yes, sir. They definitely need to go up to these officials, even the governors and whoever else is aiding in this. They need to go after all of them and charge them with insurrection.
Oh, absolutely. No doubt about it. I'm waiting on that to happen. That would go a long way to changing some behaviors.
Absolutely. You get a few of them. I can't imagine that they're going to keep pushing it this far.
Well, it'll definitely make them stop and think.
Definitely. I mean, they're very aggressive in their move to... disrupt and destroy our nation as they have gotten involved in with whoever in our government is involved, which I still mention Republican parties because I don't think that they could have gotten as far as they have if it wasn't for the involvement of Republican aid, mainly Lindsey Graham, one of them. But they definitely they need to stifle this. They need to dampen this. And that's a good way of doing it.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So anyway, Yes, sir. I appreciate the call. Yes, sir.
Absolutely. Bye-bye.
I hope they do it. I hope they get in there and start invoking that right now and make all the arrest everybody that can be. Let's go to Nick in Rock Hill. Yes, sir.
Mr. Phil, remember the good old days when DEI meant Dale Earnhardt Incorporated? Bud Light was good, and it was nothing wrong to eat a ribeye in front of a vegan. What happened to those days?
I don't know. I think they're still here.
And a rainbow mint Yate Lucky Charms out the cereal box.
Yeah, well, you know, those, you know, a lot of that has to do with the theft of the language. The only thing that's really not here anymore, unfortunately, is Dale Earnhardt. All the rest of the stuff is there, and we, you know, I think sometimes we forget it.
Yeah, I know when somebody mentions DEI at work, and I work for a global company, I say, oh, y'all talking about Dale Earnhardt Inc.? And they get all bent out of shape.
Man, some of them probably don't even know who you're talking about. What? Who? So.
Who?
Yeah, indeed. Oh.
But indeed. I appreciate you, Bill. I love listening to you. I try to catch you when I'm up in the Charlotte and Greenville area. I live in Columbia, and I listen to you guys on the Odyssey app. It's the best radio show. I try to promote it to everybody. And I got a lot of friends and family that do listen to you guys, and they appreciate you as well.
Well, I appreciate your call, sir. Drive careful. Drive careful.
I will.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I always like hearing from people in Colombia. That's the old stomping ground. We may have narrowly avoided another act of domestic terrorism. This is News Talk 98.9 WORD. Well, Mike Letts was talking about this, but, you know, the Red Mass. This was intended to mark the beginning of the Supreme Court's new term and to invoke God's blessings on those responsible for the administration of justice, as well as all public officials. And normally, several members of the Supreme Court attend the annual Mass, and an unknown number were expected to attend this year. So in advance of the Mass, police were doing a security sweep of the area, and they came across a green tent, which you don't normally see. It had been pitched on the steps of the cathedral, which you don't normally see. Inside the tent was Lewis Geary. He had previously been told he was not allowed in the church, and officers told him to move the tent. Now, I happen to think they exercised extreme restraint with this guy. See, when you start talking about explosives, right? Well, that's a threat. And he said, you might want to stay back and call the federales. I have explosives and bombs. And he was speaking to them through the tent, and he sounded agitated. So the sergeant told Geary that there was going to be an event, and they needed him to move. And he admitted that he was aware of the event before threatening to throw an explosive out of the tent. And he's quoted as saying in the court documents, do you want me to throw one out? I'll test one out in the street. I have 100+ of them. If you just step back, I'll throw one on the street. No one will get hurt. There will be a hole in the street. If you just step back, I'll take out that tree. No one will get hurt. There will just be a hole where the tree used to be. Once again, the officers explained to Geary that if he did not leave, he would be removed against his will. And he said, several of your people are going to die from one of these. So they're trying to de-escalate the situation by talking to him, and they agreed to look at something he had written. So he unzipped the tent and handed the sergeant a manifesto. And the manifesto had a title, Written Negotiations for the Avoidance of Destruction of Property via Detonation of Explosives. As she was taken at, the sergeant noticed that Geary had a butane lighter and an unknown white cap-shaped object clenched in his hand. She unzipped the rest of the flap, which angered Geary. He began reaching into a dark bag, according to the dark court documents, told her, all right, if you want to do it, we'll do it now. Which, once again, the fact he's still breathing, I'm sitting there going, wow, that's a lot of restraint. Sergeant continued to ask him questions, and he continued to answer, telling her he was the only one who wrote the negotiations he handed her and that he had a background in explosives. But then he began to pull out multiple capped vials containing yellow liquid with an illegal explosive device taped to them, whatever that is. And he hovered his right thumb over the top of the butane lighter, poised to ignite it. And he said, "You better have these people step away, as there's going to be deaths, I'm telling you." Here's a problem with this particular scenario. Well, some of the vials contained nitromethane. And that's an explosive compound, which is often used in IEDs, including the ones that destroyed in the Oklahoma City bombing. So, legit. And one day, while they're trying to de-escalate, sadly, one day, while they're trying to de-escalate these things, one of these guys is going to set one of these things off. He's going to detonate it. And he's going to take out a bunch of cops and probably a bunch of people. Because that's a problem with explosives. They are indiscriminate. Proximity is your enemy. So, in this particular instance, the mass was delayed. No members of the Supreme Court attended it. Now, Mr. Gary is facing 8 different charges, including manufacture or possession of a weapon of mass destruction in furtherance of a hate crime. And they haven't released a motive, but you would think if Gary knew that members of the Supreme Court were expected, you can draw your own conclusion about why he was there. But, yeah, that restraint is extraordinary for me to consider. And I just wonder. Now, supposedly, the sergeant had been a member of the bomb squad. And I just wonder if she thought that she had control of the situation and she didn't need to do anything about it. But, that's probably pure dumb luck. Pure dumb luck. Coming up next, The Charlie James Show. And this is News Talk 98.9 WORD, the voice of the Carolinas.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.